Hello, thank you so much for being here to learn today with me as I'm working on the Mida of Bitachon. This is Chaf Shvat, the 20th of Shvat, Tavshin Pei Daled, January 30th, 2024. And the Aruch of Tzaddikim is guiding us through steps, proper thoughts that precede Bitachon. And the seventh one, he said, is that we have to work hard in order to make a living. And people wonder, why does it have to be so challenging? Why can't it come easily? So we said some of the points last time within the seventh idea. Also, he says, Gam lo hoya adam b'teach b'eloki. If everything came like a breeze, if life was like a bowl of cherries, then people wouldn't trust in Hashem because everything would just come naturally, like it was, let's say, before the Mabul happened. And people wouldn't think about any level, there would be no anxiety which could be neutralized with bitachon. There would be no challenge which could be worked through by thinking about Hashem. So now that we have a challenge, as he explained, that our mazon, our food, and our livelihood is al yidei torach gadol va'avoda. There's a lot of toil involved, a lot of work and labor. Now that that's the situation, it's on purpose. It's not an accident. So therefore, we are brought to the point where we need to trust in Hashem. Now, there's a Gemara. It's a Braisa in Maseches Tzachim in the fourth parak. It's also Gemara Brachos. That there was something that they had called the Sefer HaRefuos. It sounds like an encyclopedia of medicine. It was the Book of Cures. And the famous king, the Tzaddik, Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, hid that book. So why did he take that book and put it to a place that no one could find it? It's a debate, really, in the Rishonim. It's a machlokus. But the Aruch HaTzaddikim explains in a very straightforward way, Kedei sheyiftach hachole b'elokim yisale. In order that a sick person will trust in Hashem, the exalted Hashem, v'lo b'refuos, and he won't place his trust in medicines and doctors. That is the simplistic or the most straightforward explanation. The truth is that the Rambam, as you might know, argues vigorously on the way I'm approaching it here and says, well, wait a minute. If medicine is like food and doctors are like providers, why would a book that has sources and like a database of medicines and cures and providers, why would that be hidden? We need to access that because that's our hishtadlus. So the Rambam really holds that it was a different idea. It had to do with it bordering on idolatry somehow, using tsuros, different forms that we shouldn't use. Because the Rambam says when we take medicines and we utilize the services of professionals, like healthcare professionals, that's not a lack of bitachon. We're supposed to do that. We've talked about it before, and Emir Tzashem will discuss it further later on. But the simplest explanation, everyone agrees, the Rambam and every other Rishon agrees, to one fact, and that is sheyiftach hachole b'elokim yisale, that a person who is ill or a person who doesn't want to become ill and is still fine needs to trust in Hashem alone, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send a competent team of doctors and cures and the latest technology to assist us in being healthy. And the person shouldn't place his trust in Hashem, but should realize that these are agents of Hashem, and they are very worthy agents. They deserve our gratitude, for sure, our recognition. But we don't place our trust. We don't say, I trust in my doctor. I trust in my medicine. No, that's exactly, everyone agrees to that point. The only machlokus was the Sefer HaRefuos. That specific volume, or that book, whatever it was, what was it and why was it hidden? That could be a machlokus, but the idea they're agreed upon, that we need to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's the one who heals us. Gam im haya adam batel mimalacha. Also, what if a person was always idle, was always free? What if life was a vacation? Like that song a long time ago, if I were a rich man, I supposedly maybe would sit and do nothing and like relax all day. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us, if a person did not have to go to work, didn't have to labor at all, and wouldn't toil, labor after his food, after his livelihood, his income, what would go wrong in that case? What would go against Hashem's vision, kaviyachol, of how human beings should be? Hayaboet. The person would kick. That's an expression, as we know, for rebel. The person would rebel against Hashem. Well, why? What do you mean? A person might say, no, Ribono Shel Olam, you know, test me, make me a multi-billionaire, so I don't have to really go to work. Test me, you know, I won't rebel against you. But that's not true. That's not the way a human being is. The person would be boeked, would kick out against Hashem. The person, because of the lack of work, the lack of occupation, the person eventually would kick, which a lashon of rebelliousness, verodef achor haveros, and then would run after transgressions, would pursue a life of crime to some degree, at least haveros, transgressions. We know that, remember the Mishnah in Ksubo says, batala habatala mevila de shiamum. It says when people are idle, they have nothing to do, then it brings to craziness, confusion. It also says mevila de zima. It brings to immorality. A person shouldn't think, I just want to be free of all types of work, all types of exertion, because that's not what's good for a human being. Of course, there are vacation times. Some people have it right now. There are vacations. There are times we need to rest and re-energize, reinvigorate ourselves. But that's not supposed to be the purpose of life. Because if we are batel, if we don't have a lot of work to do, then we get in trouble. K'dichsiv, as it's written, Devar Lamed Beis Tesvav. That's Parshas Hazinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Bnei Yisrael. He's giving them tochacha, admonishment, and guidance. And he says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. It's referring to at least one situation is when Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael and had everything good, all types of luxury, all types of bounty, all types of gashmias, material wealth and luxury. But Yishman became fat, which means became very rich in the physical department. Yeshurun, even though Bnei Yisrael are so yashar, so upright and so straight, Vayivat. And then Bnei Yisrael will have kicked out, meaning will rebel against Hashem. So we have to realize, even though we have what's called a daily grind, I mean, to get up early sometimes, some people have to get up very early, some people work long hours and we're sweating, we're laboring. So that's good. It's supposed to be that way. That's Hashem paying attention to me. That's why he gave me so much work to do. You know, a person, let's say he was in chinuch, hypothetically. So a person says, I just want to learn and teach Torah. Baruch Hashem, perfect, beautiful. There's also part of the job sometimes that might be a little bit of a grind. There's grade books. There's dealing with conflict sometimes. The struggle, the beautiful struggle, the Milchamta Shel Torah, it's a war against the Yitzhahara to learn and to teach and to take in and to listen and to impart and to grow. There are growing pains. That's why they're called growing pains. So if we didn't have all that, we would be idle, and we would just be living a life of pleasure, but it would be too much luxury, and then we get in trouble. The Amru Rabbeinu Zichrono Livracha, our Chazal said, it's in the Mishnah in Avos Perek Beis, Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eret. How beautiful it is to have learning Torah together with Derech Eret, which means the way of the land. In this case, it means the normal process of needing to make a living and to bring in a Parnasa, livelihood. So that's beautiful, that combination. She giyas shneihem mashkachas avon. Because the toil of the two of them, the exertion, what it does, it causes sin to be forgotten. It eliminates us, stops us from being in trouble. So the summary of the seventh thought is that if we are very busy, we're working really hard, we're exhausted, then we're right on target, we're on track. And there's different types of exhaustion. Obviously, we ask Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, please give me what I'm able to handle, not more than that. But when I work to my fullest, that's when I'm going to be my happiest. Of course, with the needed vacations that come at the proper times, and also the moments and the hours that we need to, again, re-energize and rest in the middle. The Aruch HaTzaddikim continues in a similar theme. Ach ata Masar Hashem Yisrael, Hashem now has handed over shtei avodos b'yad ha'adam. Now, we know there are philosophies and different opinions in general about learning full-time and about those types of issues. We're not getting into that discussion now. There's a rule, it's a general rule for human beings, that we have shtei avodos b'yad ha'adam. There are two main tasks that a person is assigned in this world. Ha'achas avodaso. One of them is the person's work. Now, there's an obligation for a husband, for example, to support a wife. Every person needs to have income, needs to have money. We know the pasuk in Kohelet says, "Ba'kesef yana es hakol." To a degree, it says money will answer everything. What does he mean by that? Well, we know Shlomo HaMelech was very practical, and he said the formula is very simple. If we work, we're able to have income, we're able to have money, and we can buy what we need. Again, fitting it into this framework, which is so essential, which is bitachon, but we have to do that hishtadlus. That's called avodaso. Vashniya, and the second task, avodas haTorah. That's the service that we have to learn Torah, to teach Torah, but there's another avoda, as he said in the beginning, it's called avodaso. Sometimes we have what's called toraso umnaso. The person's Torah is the person's job, is the person's occupation. Ashri shamala batorah. Oh, if that's what the toil of the person is, that's beautiful. Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Wein used to say to us, who can be happier than I am? I get to teach Torah and get paid for it. And Rabbi Wein had done different jobs before. He had been an attorney, he was in business, and he finally said, I wanted to become a full-time rabbi and a Rosh Hashiva and a Rebbe. And nobody could be more fortunate than that. But there, even in that regard, there are aspects of it that's considered avoda. There are parts of it that are more mundane, that are more demanding, and they have to do with olam hazeh. They're more worldly. So how do I look at this necessity to be involved in two types of work in this world? Avodaso, which is the more worldly, physical, mundane, and the second one is Avodas HaTorah, which is sublime and spiritual. Says the Orchos Tzadikim, Mitzarich HaAdam Lihios, and a person needs to be Memutza, placed in the middle, like almost like the word equidistant. The person has to be in there, Bein Shtei HaAvodos, between the two tasks, the works that a person has to do. And to make sure to set aside times, to devote hours, miuchados, that are devoted specifically, la'avodas haTorah, for the service of Torah, learning Torah, teaching Torah, la'avodas ha'olam hazeh, but also for the work of this world. That means that we have to consider both. A person should not say, I can only do one, I can only do half. No, I need to be doing both. Whether it's in a support role, whether it's directly on the front line, so to say, being the one who's learning full-time or part-time or teaching Torah or supporting the one who's learning, that could be voda of this world and of Torah. That's a hybrid type of activity. But they're both elements, both ingredients are there, which is avodaso and avodas haTorah. And a person should never lament the fact that both tasks need to be done, and that there's a lot of demands from a person. B'tzarech shetis chazek, says the Orcha Tzadikim, you need to become strong. He speaks to the reader. You have to strengthen yourself. Shetei aseh, that it should be done. Avodas shtehem le'olam le'tov l'cho olacharisacha. So the word tis chazek, the pashtus, he's referring to the person. You need to become strong. Or the conjugation tis chazek is like te'aseh. It should become strengthened, the whole situation. The avoda should be strengthened. However you slice it, he does speak directly to the reader in the end of the sentence. La'olam le'tov l'cha u'la'acharisacha. It should always be what's best for you and for your end. That means, as he explains himself, what does that actually mean? V'lo siyeh ha'achas hefsed l'chaverta. It shouldn't be that a person is pulled too much toward one side and therefore away from the other side. Meaning that you can't say, well, I am going to mainly emphasize the first one, which is avodaso, which is the mundane activities, and I kind of like will have to put Torah on the back burner. No. But by the way, he says it's the other way too. A person shouldn't say, I wake up in the morning, I just want to learn and grow in Torah. I'm not going to go to work. I'm not going to go and teach if that's my job. I'm not going to go to my business, the Havdil, if I'm an accountant, if I'm a businessman, if I'm a doctor. I just want to sit and learn all day. Can't say that either. That's not how life is in general. There are exceptions to every rule. But this is the general situation and the scenario and the framework of the existence of most people. And now we have a beautiful example in Yirmiyah HaNavi, Perichah Beis Pasuk Tesvav. I'm going to read you a pasuk in Yirmiyah. And what happened was that Yirmiyah the Navi was speaking to Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, Melech Yehuda. Now, Yoshiyahu, Melech Yehuda, was a very big tzaddik. And unfortunately, his son, Yehoyakim, was not. Then the Navi said, I have a complaint against you. You should be acting the way your father did. You have a good example. Which, by the way, just reminds us that once in a while, it's not a bad idea to reflect on our parents and the examples they've set for us and the examples they do set for us constantly, which are so positive. The Navi told this to Yehoyakim, who was a Rasha. He said, why don't you just look at how your father acted? This happens in the school sometimes. There are many students whose parents are tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim, rabbanim, rebbeim, and a rebbe, me being in that position, will often say, you know, I bet your father would have a great insight. Your mother, they're experts on this. Because the child, whatever age the child is, has to sometimes be reminded to appreciate his or her parent. So we have a similar dialogue with Yirmiyahu HaNavi speaking to Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu. Yehoyakim, who was a Rasha, the son of Yoshiyahu, who was a Tzaddik. The Navi said to him, Avicha, hey Yehoyakim, your father Yoshiyahu, Avicha, hello, isn't it true? Achal v'shasa, he ate and he drank, which we'll explain soon what he means by that. The asa mishpat utzadaka. But he also did justice and righteousness and charity. Oz Toblo, then it was good for him. What is the prophet? What is the Navi Yirmiyah telling Yoshiyahu? Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu. What's he telling Yehoyakim about his father Yoshiyahu? Let's look at the Metzudas David first. Very interesting pshat that he says. I'll read it to you in Hebrew. Avicha, who Yoshiyahu? So I'm speaking to you, the Navi says. Yehoyakim, your father was Yoshiyahu. How Achal v'shasa? Isn't it true that he ate and he drank? Yitachen, says the Metzudas David, it's very possible. Shehoya Yehoyakim misagef atzmo b'machlo mishte. This person who acted as a Rasha, who was Yehoyakim, it's very possible that the reason Yirmiyahu HaNavi said this to him was because he, living his wicked lifestyle, would torture himself when it came to food and drink. Meaning, he would abstain from food and drink to torture himself. Well, why? The asahara, and but he also acted in a wicked and evil lifestyle. The choshbo, because he made himself a calculation. He's thinking the following. He's thinking she hasiguf yechaper al ra'aso. He's thinking that he can live an evil lifestyle and he can atone for it by torturing himself. What kind of calculation is that? He said, I will do what I want. I will be corrupt. I will be immoral. But I will make amends for it by abstaining from food and drink and torturing myself. Well, Azeh Omar. And that's why the Navi said to him, nah, you got it all wrong. Hello, Avicha. Isn't it true that your father did the opposite, exact opposite on both sides of it? Your father, who was the tzaddik Yoshiyahu, he enjoyed himself with food and drink, which, by the way, reminds us we're allowed to enjoy ourselves with food and drink and physical indulgences for the sake of Hashem within the parameters of halacha and musar. We're supposed to be enjoying and partaking of Hashem's delicious, beautiful, majestic world. Your father did that, the awesome mishpat utzadaka, but your father did justice and righteousness and charity. That's why it was good for him. He struck the balance. Meaning, this is what the ideal lifestyle is. we enjoy this world, and I've said it so many times, you're probably tired of it already, as the Pella Yoetz tells us, eat delicious foods. Not overeat, but eat foods that are absolutely delectable so that we will say brachos with joy. Your father, says Yirmiyahu HaNavi to Jehoiakim, your father, Yoshio, he ate and drank. He enjoyed. He said brachos with lots of kavana, I'm sure. He had in mind before he benched that he's doing a mitzvah d'oraisa of benching. He did all that. But he lived a moral, upstanding, honest life. Ubavor zeh hoya tovla. That's why it was good for him. Ki lo asahara, because he didn't live a corrupt, evil lifestyle. He kept himself in line. He lived above board. Lo hoya latzorech el hasigu. And he didn't need to torture himself. So that's what this pasuk means, that the Orach HaTzaddikim quotes. What does it have to do with bitachon? Bitachon is striking the proper balance, having everything in perspective, seeing it through the prism of Torah. You don't have to torture yourself, and you don't have to feel sad and oppressed and agitated and worried. Enjoy this world and do your best to do what's right. Not like your father, who had it absolutely the opposite. What your father did was he was corrupt. He didn't try to live a righteous lifestyle. And then he figured, I will torture myself by abstaining from the physical enjoyments of this world. That's not what Hashem wants from us. There's another pshat the Radak says, also beautiful pshat, gives us a lot of insight into this pasuk, which has everything to do with bitachon, because this part of bitachon that we're learning about is achieving the proper balance and equilibrium in life. Your father, he ate and drank, and he did justice and righteousness. Kolomar, says the Radak, Eini tofes oscha kahano secha. I have no taina, I'm not grabbing you, no claims against you about the fact that you're enjoying this world. According to this pshat, Jehoiakim was not torturing himself. It's a different explanation, so we have to start from scratch. The pasuk says that Yirmiyahu HaNavi told Jehoiakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, Jehoiakim, who was living as a Rasha, he said, Avicha, your father, Yoshiyahu, who was very righteous. Halo Acha Vishasa, isn't it true that he ate and drank? The awesome mishpat, and he did justice. With tzedakah, righteousness. He was charitable. Then it was good for him. So according to the Radak, the Navi, Yirmiyahu, is telling Jehoiakim, I have no claims against you, no complaints about the fact that you're enjoying this world. Im ha'yisa osa mishpat u'tzedakah. If only you would act in a righteous way, you would do justice and righteousness. Ki avicha Yoshiyahu, because your father, the tzaddik, the righteous man Yoshiyahu, acha v'shasa. He also ate and drank, uchederach hamalachim, like the way the kings do. Look at those two words. He got enjoyment from, he benefited from his goodness. By the way, I want to emphasize this and capsulize it for a minute, because it says in Koheles that there are people who have so much good in this world, so much benefit from Hashem, so much bounty from Hashem, and they don't enjoy it because they're upset all the time. They're uptight. They're anxious and they're afraid. This is a self-contained lesson to be nene betovaso. We're not here forever. We may as well enjoy what Hashem gives us, be besimcha about it. So this little two words is a really packed phrase that the Navi is telling him, your father, Yoshiyahu, had tremendous bounty, tremendous generous presence from Hashem, the nene betovaso. He benefited and enjoyed it, which is what we're supposed to do. That's why we're able to be besimcha, because we can look at how much Hashem gives us. He gives us health, he gives us parnasa, he gives us family, hopefully, he gives us so much beauty, magnificence in this world. The kevan sha'asa mishpat tzedakah. So the Radak explains that the Navi is telling him, Yirmiyahu is telling Jehoiakim, since your father Yoshiyahu, he did justice and righteousness, as tovlo, then it was good for him. Bohaya betov koyama. He was in a good situation, in a good place for his whole life. Avalata, but you, Jehoiakim, nene betova sa'olam hazeh bederech ra. The way you benefit from this world, the way you get personal pleasure, is in a corrupt manner. But it's possible to enjoy this world in an above board manner, in an honest way, But you're choosing to do it in a way that's not honest, in a way that's not moral. Shebinyanecha, that your buildings, your mansions, sha'ata nena b'hem, that you enjoy them and get pleasure from them, einam b'yosher, they're not attained in an honest way, over mishpat, and in a just way. Ki'im ba'oshek, it's through oppression, and through dishonesty and cheating. We don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be worried about how much money we're going to have if we have bitachon. You need to just have bitachon, says the Archos Tzadikim, to work on bitachon and emunah and simcha, and then the Ribono Shel Olam will send us our livelihood in an honest way. Those are rudimentary, absolute necessities that we're allowed to have bitachon about. We really need to. The chen machalcha, your food, the Navi is telling Yehoyakim. Umashkecha, your drink, the shar hanosecha, the rest of your pleasures, your enjoyments, came b'chamas, they're through dishonesty, corruption, robbery, extortion. K'mo sha'amar, like it said, ki ein einecha v'libcha ki im al bitzecha. Your eyes and your heart are only on your gain, what you get for yourself selfishly. So what is the lesson of this pasuk? We had two explanations. We had the Metzudah Stavit and the Radak. The Metzudah explained, a person shouldn't feel, I need to be tortured, I need to suffer, I need to be in anguish, because really, I don't live an honest lifestyle, and I need to atone for it by torturing myself. Or, just the first part of it, a person shouldn't feel, I need to be tortured, because sometimes people say, well, wait a minute, if I'm having an enjoyable, gratifying life, should I be worried that I'm using up my Olam Haba? He talks about it later, Archos Tzadikim. That is not what we're supposed to be feeling. We're allowed to say, Ribono Shel Olam, thank you. I'm really enjoying this. This is very gratifying. It could even be gashmias that helps me to serve you, Ribono Shel Olam. So you don't need to be abstaining from this world in order to have a meaningful life. You can indulge properly within the parameters of halacha with Torah guidance. And that is part of our existence, and that's why the world is so beautiful and enjoyable. It's not an accident. And that's what the Navi was telling him, according to the Mitzvah Stavitz Pshat. According to the Radatz Pshat, there's no taina against a person. One more time, it's the same idea. This part is similar. There is no complaint against a person. If the person is enjoying this world, if the person is gratified, the person gets what we call a geshmak, from something that's delicious, even physically, if we use it properly and we attain it properly through honest means. That is part of life in this world. It's supposed to upgrade our avodas Hashem. Ribono Shel Olam, thank you. That cup of coffee was so delicious. I feel like a different person now. Thank you for creating coffee. Baruch Hashem. And now I have a little bit more of awareness of what I'm doing. I'm a little more awake. I can learn better. But I'm supposed to deal honestly, pay taxes properly, and also, chas v'shalom, never cheat, never do anything that's not above board. So the Archos Tzadikim is telling us, it's totally fine for a person to indulge in this world for the sake of Hashem. Halo achal v'shasa v'asa mishpat. And that's what the Navi Yirmiyah was telling Yehoyakim. Your father, use him as an example. As a person who was able to achieve that balance, that is a powerful lesson for us. As we continue, Mir Hashem, next week, we're going to learn that Koheles also tells us, Shlomo HaMelech, that Hashem wants us to be memutza, to be in between, meaning utilizing everything we've been given in this world, in every form, to get close to Him. And when we know that we're above board as much as we can, that should be a source of emunah, bitachon, and simcha for us. Thank you so much for learning. And Amir Tashem, we'll continue next week. Have a wonderful week.